This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Niners 28, Seattle 17.
Cuckoo.
Oh, gosh. 28-17 is the official Nostra Dibbles prediction.
River Islands guest line, you. Our man on the Niner beat, Jake Hutchinson, is joining us now. And look, Hutch is a guy who reports on what's going on, not predicts. But what do you think, Hutch? What do you think of this idea, this Dan Dibley they're definitely covering tonight thought?
First of all, that's a lot more animosity towards Dibs than I was expecting.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's normal on this show.
I mean, I don't think that's an unreasonable pick. I will say I feel like every Thursday night game is just a toss-up just by the nature of it. But, you know, Seattle's also limping into this thing too. I mean, my gut, you know, if you were to rationally look at both of these teams, and granted the 49ers have not been rational in how they've played some of these games this year, my gut would say that the 49ers would win, but that sort of assumes that they do what they're good at, which is committing to the run and dictating the terms, which a lot of times they've gotten away from, and they just haven't looked like the sort of identity of run the ball and work off of that we've expected this season.
Hutch, let's get a reaction of the big news of the last hour, which is that Charvarius Ward is not playing. What is your thought on that and what the Niners will try to do to make up for his absence?
I will say Mooney has had his worst season with the Niners by far. He's looked really rough this year. That said, I think he's usually played pretty well against DK Metcalf. That's not ideal. I think this is going to be a major test. I think Isaac Adams had some up, had some downs. This is a good test for Renardo Green, and this is a Seahawks team with three really, really good wide receivers. I honestly don't think DK Metcalf is the best of them, but he's a guy where if you let him get going, it can be problematic. He's also a guy where when he gets frustrated, he throws temper tantrums, and Ward is kind of a good guy to bait him into that. So I think that's something you could be missing. But I also think if he gets matched up with a rookie in Renardo Green and gets frustrated, that could really, really benefit the Niners. And Green is a guy who, you know, he's not massive like DK is, but he's kind of a feisty corner. Lenore is too. So it's going to be interesting. It's a lot of unknowns with Green. I like what I saw from him on tape coming out of the draft, and I like what I've seen so far. But it's a major, major test.
Yeah, no doubt. And you've got a lot of youth back there in the secondary. And it feels like the best thing for a secondary would be if the front could actually put pressure on a quarterback. Only two hits on Kyler Murray last weekend and one sack in totality. How banged up is the Niners front that would be able to help a secondary if they were impactful?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, they're basically Malik Collins is holding together the defensive tackle group, you know, just by a thread. He's been great, I think. Kevin Givens has had a few moments, but it's mostly off of what's been created. I will say, like, Leonard Floyd seems to have sort of mastered the art of, like, letting Nick Bosa get a pressure and, you know, waiting for a quarterback to step up and then just sort of taking the sack that's there. I think this is a game that, you know, after playing in 100-degree heat with Kyler scurrying around and getting rid of the ball pretty quickly, I think they're going to feel pretty good about Geno. He's a guy that, you know, the Giants got to him a lot. last week, and I think this is a pretty good opportunity for them. I think Bosa is going to feel confident about it, but it depends on, you know, if the Seahawks commit to the run and if they can slow down Kenneth Murray. Seattle got away from that last week, but it seems like they're going to go back to it a little bit more. We'll see how that plays out. I think that's going to determine, you know, their energy level and what they're capable of getting after Geno Smith.
Jake Hutchinson is joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, our guy on the Niners beat here at 95.7 The Game. Okay, Hutch, let's talk red zone. What do they need to do differently?
Yeah, there are a lot of things they could do differently. One, I will say Jonathan Gannon had like a great game plan for them last week where, you know, when they'd set up, say, three wide receivers to the right, they would know that the 49ers are going to look that way and they would double team and pass safeties off. And then by the time Purdy would come back to the other side where someone like Ayuk is open, there was already pressure in his face. So what I would suggest is that they should make Ayuk, especially when he gets one-on-one coverage, the primary read. He runs that whip route where he snaps in and then snaps back out better than anybody. He beat Christian Gonzalez on it against the Patriots, but just didn't get the ball. I think he had another one last week. There are times where Ayuk wins, but he's not the first read. And I think, honestly, the 49ers tend not to do that, but go like basic, where he's your number one receiver. If you see that he's got one-on-one coverage and he can snap in and then out, throw it to him. I'm not saying just throw a fade every single time because that's the most inefficient play in football, but there is something to running the ball in the red zone, trusting that Mason is going to get it done, and then trusting your number one receiver because Deebo Samuel's not separating and George Kittle's getting a lot of safety help and Juwan Jennings, you know, he's great in contested catches, but they're always contested.
Deebo Samuel is one that Mark and I have been talking about since the Sunday game, and Mark thought he looked a little sluggish, and I was looking at the same thing. What are you seeing from Deebo, particularly coming off the Arizona game, in terms of separation?
Yeah, Deebo doesn't really separate in man. I think that's one of the main reasons the Chiefs won the Super Bowl is they mostly put Trent McDuffie on him, and Deebo couldn't get an inch. He just is not. Listen, Deebo is one of the most talented football players I have ever seen, but as a true wide receiver, he does not create separation in man coverage. That's just known, and that's how teams play him, and that's just the reality of it. And the 49ers haven't gotten a lot of those soft zones where Deebo can get easy catches and runs after catch. And even when they do, you're right. I haven't seen him look like, you know, he's moving at top speed. And for all the talk about how good he looked in training camp, and he did, like, he hasn't reached those heights, and the 49ers, you know, he hasn't even broken it on some of those tunnel screens and some of those short passes that the 49ers seem to thrive on with him. So, yeah, he's not really separating, and he hasn't had a lot of those good chances that he gets on run-after-catch plays.
Hutch, I'd love for you to weigh in on something I hear fans talking about a lot. Whatever issues you see on defense, whatever they are, is this a coaching thing or a personnel thing?
I think it's mainly personnel. I think it's easy to blame coaches because it's sort of a catch-all, and you can say, oh, it's the coaching. And then you go, well, what about the coaching? And they go, oh, don't worry about it. It's the coach's fault. And you go, okay, well, we're not having a conversation here. I think it's something where the 49ers, they've got two young safeties. Jair Brown, I think a lot of people have had high hopes. He's not quite getting there yet. Like, he's had some good plays, like he can come downhill and make tackles in the box, but I'm not sure he's a true free safety. Malik Mustafa is a rookie. Safety's a really hard position to play, and 49ers count on a lot of that. Devondre Campbell just has not been the answer next to Fred Warner. It's very, very clear Fred Warner's playing defensive player of the year caliber and just getting a monumental drop off next to him. And then Nick Bosa is, you know, it's him and then Leonard Floyd sort of cleaning stuff up, and Malik Collins doing a decent job, but there's not a ton of depth there. And then, like, you just lost your number one corner. So, to me, it's personnel. It's a lot of new pieces, a lot of young pieces, and I think it's going to take time, and it's going to take, you know, Devondre Campbell either turning it around or the 49ers turning to someone like Dee Winters or some of their other young linebackers to help. And just getting lucky at safety because they don't have any other options than their two young safeties. And I think this is a game where they could really be tested against a team that, you know, loves to split all three wide receivers out.
Yeah, Campbell's played the fourth most snaps on defense, and he'll surpass Charvarius Ward on that list today. And Flanagan Fowles is out as well. So short of Dee Winters, What are the options, and what have you seen from D. Winters since the game on Sunday that would indicate maybe he can play more snaps coming off the ankle?
Yeah, it's interesting with D. Winters because it's to me it's a matter of, like, do you think he can play in almost every down role? He's much smaller than Campbell and Warner. You know, Dre Greenlaw is obviously not a massive linebacker, but he plays like he has no fear of anything in the world. And Winters seems to have a little bit of that, but I think you wonder if he can hold up, you know, in that Will role. I think if you do feel confident that he can do that, I think you should play him over Campbell because he plays with a lot more speed. He showed me a lot in training camp in coverage. He made some nice coverage plays. And I think that's what you would need next to Warner. I think that's something that they probably won't do this week. But if Campbell doesn't look right again and they have, you know, 10 days before the Chiefs, I wouldn't be stunned, you know, if they were to go to Winters and then, you know, I keep Campbell, I guess, as your number three, or look somewhere younger with, you know, Jalen Graham or Tatum Bethune.
Hutch, when we look at sort of what Kyle Shanahan's script will be, whatever his first shot will be, we were somewhat surprised against Arizona that it was the passing game. He really came out wanting to throw the ball. What do you think they want to come out and try for?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First tonight,
I think they want to run the ball. I think it's something where, you know, Seattle's got some big guys on their interior front, and so did the Cardinals. Like, the Cardinals are not a talented defense, but they did have some, you know, big beefy boys on the interior, and, you know, Seattle's got a little bit of that too, and that could be a challenge for the 49ers front. But, you know, if you get some of those crack toss plays, I honestly think if you were to go back to some of the week one stuff of running two tight ends, running stretch runs, getting back to like a little bit of 2019 where they ran stretch runs and play action boot off of it, I don't think that's the worst idea in the world. They've run like the fourth fewest play action in the league. Seattle's dead last. But you look at it, and Brock Purdy is the number one quarterback in the league on play action passes. And he's just not gotten very many opportunities in that respect.
And you have to establish the run in order to run play action. I mean, it's not brain surgery to make that statement or think about it. So Jordan Mason, coming off a game where he had just 14 carries, would you imagine that he's going to get to shoulder a lot more of the workload, even though it's on a short week?
I think if he is clicking and the run game is going, Kyle Shanahan will say, listen, you got a nice rest after this one. This is basically our season on the line here. And we've seen that regardless of whether a guy's coming in sort of banged up or not, Mason's got nothing on the injury report. But Kyle Shanahan, he plays his players when the games matter. And, you know, again, there's been talk, is this a must win? It basically is, you know, because then you're 0-3 in the division and 2-4 if you don't win this. So I don't think they trust Isaac Arendo yet. I talked to him this week and, you know, he said he's been a little bit more hesitant than he wants to be. I think they could get him involved on swing passes because he's so fast and doesn't really know the position. I think it's a good way to get him involved if they do. But yeah, I think they're just going to lean on the guys they trust. And unless they're rattled by that one fumble for Mason, I think they're just going to ride him.
Our guy covering the Niners, Jake Hutchinson, with us as we are less than an hour away from kickoff in Seattle in a massive game. Hutch, I know this one doesn't have much to do with tonight, but while we have you, I do want to get your best guess, and we will present it as that. So no pressure here, but your best guess when we see Christian McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw play football this year.
Oof. I cannot take a guess on those guys. McCaffrey, I don't know. If it was in a month, it wouldn't shock me. If it was 2 months, it wouldn't shock me. Like, I don't know. Is he going to play this season? It's been very, like, Kyle Shanahan has been very tight-lipped about it. McCaffrey keeps his health under tight wraps. You know, there are some national guys whose entire job is breaking that stuff, and they don't know. So I can't even possibly take a guess on McCaffrey. With Greenlaw, I think he's a guy that I feel like the initial timeline was somewhere in November. If their linebacker group is still looking sort of rough, and Greenlaw can work back, I think down the stretch of this season, somewhere maybe like December, where you get him a little bit involved and ramp him up going into the postseason, I think that would be their ideal scenario. But again, you know, it's a guy coming off an Achilles, so, you know, you don't know what to expect. But yeah, for me, I think Greenlaw probably late in this season, at least in terms of getting him worked back and seeing if he can do anything.
Pending Matthew Wright's performance tonight, how much will the 49ers be eager to bring Jake Moody back after his injury?
Yeah, you know how Kyle Shanahan is. He basically, he won't admit it, but I think if you really got him, you know, on a side, you know, just having a beer with him, and he'd probably say he wishes special teams didn't exist because it's something that just seems to stress him out entirely and bring him almost no joy whatsoever, where he just, you know, he just wants the kicker to make the kick and not think about it. And yet the 49ers often have like these mind-boggling special teams errors. So yeah, if Matthew Wright can make anything inside of 50, I think they'll be pretty stoked about that. I think Kyle is going to be really, really sweating it, you know, inevitably when they have like a 54-yard field goal to win this game. And it's Matthew Wright kicking it. So we'll see how that goes, but I bet he's not feeling stoked about the situation.
Word is that he's warming up right now and knocking through 55 yarders with ease, Jake.
Well, there it is. I guess it's locked and loaded.
All right. So Matthew Wright goes 4 for 4 tonight.
Yep.
Niners win by 83 points. Hutch, thank you very much. Great stuff.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right. There goes our guy, Hutch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.